Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, if you bleed blue and white,
drink blue and light.
Thank you, Andy. You could catch all of our Keystone Kickoff Penn State football talk on our app, Keystone Sports, or find us now on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud. We're everywhere. I'm Jim Galante, along with Andy Shea and Bob Flounders. And gentlemen, we actually have football to talk about.
I know. It's the start, I think, of a very interesting voyage for the Penn State football program. To a certain extent, I mean, they're certainly not starting over, but this is definitely a brand new chapter with a new quarterback, with some young players, a daunting schedule, and I just think that this is year six for James Franklin, Jim. I would make at the start of it, this might be the most interesting year, just because of there's a lot of possibilities, good and maybe a couple not so good. So we're gonna have to find out.
Yeah, I don't think there's been this type of apprehensive anticipation since Trace McSorley started a quarterback.
I wouldn't say apprehensive. I think that you just really
You
just don't know how this could play out, because it's such a talented team. I really believe that, but they're young. So which way is it going to go, like, a month into the season? In 2016, they were a pretty talented team, and it could have went one way or the other a month into the season, and it went the right way. You just have to let it play out.
Yeah, by apprehension, I meant in terms of, like, you just don't know, which is I would contend that this is probably top to bottom, north, south, east, and west, the most talented team James Franklin has put onto the field in his tenure across the board. I'm not talking exclusive talent like Barkley's a freak, you know what I mean? But I mean, you know, top to bottom and sort of east-west a little bit, I think this might be the most talented team. It's one of his more inexperienced groups that he's put out there. So, and they have a daunting schedule, as Bob mentioned. So is it 8-4? Is it 6-6? Is it 10-2? Is it 11-1? You just got to let it play out. And you can't hide talent. That's all I know. You can't hide talent, and talent sort of shows itself eventually. How is it going to show itself for this Penn State team? That's the big question that you get to watch the journey on. But it's definitely time for blue and white to be drink blue and white weekends. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. I liked, Bob, your analogy to the 2016 season when they started 2-2. And you're right. It really could have gone either way. And it went the right way.
Minnesota.
As Penn State fans. And this is one of those seasons where, yeah, there are people predicting 6-6, and there's others predicting 10-2.
Correct.
And both are legitimate estimates.
You could make a case right now probably for both. And like I said, I think fortunately for Penn State, as fans know, they have two games in this season where the young players can really kind of get up to speed, and they get Pitt at home. So as tough as the schedule could get later this season, the way that it starts, I think, is set up very nicely for Penn State to hit the ground running when it really gets more serious.
I think you're right. But
plus a bye.
Plus two. Yeah, it's one of two byes.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know, I have not even gone over our schedule for today's show.
That's okay.
We hit the ground running, so to speak, with Q1, where we're going to talk news. Q2, I know in Q1 a lot of the news is going to be about the roster. We're going to continue that into Q2. I think there's plenty of meat on that bone. Quarter number three, it's the chance for Bob and Andy to answer your questions. And in quarter four, yes, it's finally time. We are going to preview the Idaho game. I know there's a lot to talk about with that Idaho
team. Key matchups in that one are going to determine.
Yeah. Uh-oh, little sneak preview from Bob there. All right, let's get to the news. I know this isn't news, but last Friday, under the darkness of lack of media, Friday, 5:11 p.m., the big announcement was made that Sean Clifford is the starter, which I know stunned everybody in Nittany Nation. And I know everyone's talked about it. We've talked about Sean Clifford. But my first question is about Will Levis. After we've seen these announcements at Mississippi State and immediately the backup transfer went to the portal, I believe in Washington, right to the portal, USC, right to the portal. Bob, were you surprised Will Levis didn't make it to the portal yet?
Well, he's a redshirt freshman. Let's keep that in mind. It's the start of the season. I mean, my expectation is that Penn State's coaching staff likes Sean Clifford to the point that they know, they feel very good about him. And they think that he will play well as long as he's the starting quarterback. James Franklin has not shown in his history that he's really ever taken a quarterback out for playing well. So what I'm trying to say is at some point, if Sean Clifford plays well, I think Will Levis is probably going to try and leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way of it. Young guys want to play. They don't want to wait for 2 or 3 years. It's going to be very hard, I think, to keep him no matter what, you know, James says now. If it was Sean Clifford was a redshirt junior, I think we're having a different conversation.
I agree.
But I just think that it's the way of the world. Kids want to play. The question is, does Will want to get his Penn State degree and then maybe look around a little bit after that?
Right. The one thing folks have to understand is there's probably no advantage to Will Levis leaving right now.
Correct.
Because he doesn't have his degree. He would have to sit out a year. So rather than sit out a year, how about
right.
be second team at Penn State? And who knows, yeah. one twisted ankle from that's being the starter.
That's the other thing is it's such a long season. It's the next two seasons are very long seasons. We're probably getting ahead of ourselves.
Correct.
And as good as Sean is, Will's very talented too. He's another guy that if he gets his foot through the door and he gets a shot, I mean, it could be reversed. Sean might not get the job back. I just think that Will's got to be patient. I'm sure he's going to be patient this year, but congratulations to Sean. I do think that by the end of the season, if he's healthy, those fools that picked him as the 10th best quarterback in the Big Ten.
There you go.
We're going to revisit that one as well because that still bothers me.
Will Levis still has great opportunity. That's why he's not going to the transfer portal. I mean, Tommy Stevens left. That moved Will Levis from sort of a backdoor spotlight to a really bright spotlight. So he got to live in a bright spotlight ever since Tommy transferred. He has opportunity, and he's now the backup quarterback. He's heading into his, you know, redshirt freshman year. So he's on his second year of school, and he's one snap away instead of 32nd, and that's only a small gap, you might think, but to me, it's a huge step.
Well, you also make a great point. His expectation was going to be the number three guy
right.
this year.
Also, there's competition at every major program. So
correct.
You're not always assured of a starting job if you leave someplace like Penn State.
Exactly. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, let's move on to another piece of news, which was Penn State got another recruit out of Florida. Thank you, J1 Slider. Four-star running back, and this guy, he's a big guy. You described him as a pounder.
Thumper.
6 foot, 223.
And Thump.
And I think the bigger point here is, once more, we've got two running backs, both four-stars.
Mm-hmm.
And both out of Florida.
It's the most important position in James Franklin's offense, as he wants it to be designed and run perfectly. I'm sorry, I've watched him at Vanderbilt and here. I know he likes to use multiple running backs and have different talents in a variety of ways and use them. That is the way he likes to run his offense. He'll go if he has a freak like Saquon and a really good running back like Miles. He proved he'll ride the one running back, but ideally in his design, he wants to have two or three options at running back, and he wants them to be a little bit different, and Jaywan's recruiting it.
If you want to get a talented running back that will probably be ready to play almost immediately at your school, I think Florida High School is probably a good place.
Not a bad start.
I don't know that there are a lot many more talented football states for high school than Florida, so I mean, I'm sure this kid is going to be a handful. Hopefully, I don't know. Andy, is he planning on enrolling early, or has that not been decided?
I did not check into that. I watched the film, but I didn't check into that
anymore. It helps, and to Andy's point, they play three at Georgia. They play three at Alabama. They play multiple ones at all the good programs.
Clemson.
So I think kids are excited about the fact that maybe they don't want to carry the ball 250 times. They just want to show that they can play, and they want to get to the next level. They want to get to develop. So Jawan Sider is proving to be easily one of James Franklin's most significant hires since he's gotten here.
I think other than Joe Moorhead, it might be the top. And by the way, when you say running back, the most important position, Sean Clifford says, hold my beer.
Nope.
All right.
Well, by design, it's the running back. Quarterback's a trigger guy.
I think it's fascinating, though, that you got two running backs, again, back-to-back years. And I guess they're still in the running for the running back from Jersey. So and they're very different styles. Maybe some of them could be an all-purpose back or receiver. So I just thought that's the very fascinating point there. One other thing before we move on to talk some of those roster announcements was we do have, first off, Cam Brown is going to miss the first half. That's a suspension from last season.
He got ejected in the second half of the Citrus Bowl for targeting. So when I got the depth chart and I saw it was fourth, and I'm like, what is going on here? And there's a little asterisk at the very bottom that says, just a reminder that Cam Brown will not start the game because he can't play in the first half after getting. And it all made sense to me.
And one other player suspension, Donovan Johnson.
Yeah, another. He wasn't even on the depth chart. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, come on. I mean, I know they like their corners. But, like, with James, you get him for 30 minutes, and if you don't ask him specifically about a player, he's not an oversharer. You're going to have to pry it out of him. And finally, there was an opportunity to ask him about, hey, what's the deal with Donovan Johnson? And he did admit he's gonna miss the opener. Kevin Givens missed the opener last year, suspension, violation of team rules. Donovan Johnson is a talented player, and I think he is part of the cornerback equation, although they obviously like their two second-team guys, Keaton Ellis and Trent Gordon.
All right, that does it for the show. For the show.
For the show?
I've had enough of you guys. That's it. We're all right, done.
Idaho, I'm picking Idaho.
About Eddie saying running back was the most important.
I am. Come on. Andrew, you want to break the tie?
I would. It's a quarterback's game. It just is. Look at the Heisman.
When you sit with me on Saturday, you'll see. Jim, I'm just telling you. I'll enroll you in my football academy on Saturday afternoon.
That's a reference.
Challenge accepted, right, Jim?
Andrew P. and I are going to be at the stadium together watching the game. That should be very interesting. Stick around. There is more Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number two, we're going to talk roster.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.